It's time for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Let's get to it. Live once again in the city of brotherly love, none other than Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, broadcasting from and hanging out in WWDB 860 AM studios and my bedroom today as well. Good evening, Philadelphia, Bucks County, Montgomery County, Delco, and Southwest New Jersey. But folks, we do not stop there. We are entering eardrums anywhere that you got access to the internet. Stream us live every Friday at 6 p.m. EST on WWDBAM.com. We're glad to be here today. My name is Evan Transu, a.k.a. Ev, and I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And what's going on, everybody? My name is Scott Prendergast, coming at you from the studio today, and I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
Yeah, we got a little dual action going on here. You can catch us live on the Zoom as well. doing a pre-record today since I got to kind of be at home, and then it makes our Friday a lot easier. I know Scott's got some very important things to attend to tomorrow evening. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. I certainly do, my man. I certainly do, as I know you do. Yes. As well.
Always. All right, cool. So today's topic, I think it'd be easiest if maybe you described what you wanted to share first, then I'll piggyback with the things I was thinking. But for those tuning into the show for the first time, this is basically how this works. We'll spend the first 10, 11 minutes kind of breaking down what the topic of today is. The second part will be maybe more getting into the deep stuff, maybe times that these topics related to us in a not so great way. And then part three is our favorite part. It is the time where we actually teach coping mechanisms, strategies that we learned. And if you know anything about us, part two and part three very easily merge together a lot of the times. So Scott, what is the topic today?
Of course. So the topic today that we're talking about is living for the lesson. And this is something that every single person at one point or again in their lives can really relate to, which is why we thought it would be a great topic today. And when we say living for the lesson, what we mean is kind of like this, is that as we all know, as everybody's experienced in this life, life is difficult and it's not always going to be great. It's not always going to be fun. There are going to be times where we feel like we're on top of the world, and then there's going to be times where we feel like we're lower than the dirt that's beneath our feet. But if we live for the lesson, what that really helps us to do is look at every single situation through the lens of positivity. So maybe something didn't go exactly how we planned. Maybe things aren't going exactly right. Maybe we're really in a dark, struggling place. But if we know that we have to look and live for that lesson, we could take something good from that situation. And I think this is not just something for people that are optimists and for positive people, but this is something that everyone can take away from it. Even if you have an inclination to be more of a pessimistic person, that's fine. This show is still for you today, because it's something that every single person can do, is learning to live your life looking for the lessons within the different things that happen. You know, a lot of times in life, people talk about, okay, you know, find content, right? I'm a content creator. That's what people, you know, call themselves, right? Well, when you're going throughout life, guess what? The different things that happen to you in life, that is content. When you maybe get fired from your job, that's content in your life. When you start a new relationship, when you get a new job, when you buy a house, all these different things, that is content of your life. And we want to make sure that when that content comes, we remember to look for those lessons that are within it. So that's really what we're going to be talking about today.
It's kind of interesting, because I think if people actually think about it, Scott, almost anything else is insanity. And I don't mean insanity in the literal definition that they always say about doing the same thing over and over again. I get that. When I say it's insane, you could call it crazy, ridiculous, whatever, because if we're not approaching life with that, then we are somehow thinking that, oh, well, life's just going to be perfect all the time. Right. No, there's going to be some hardships. There's going to be things that come. And so we might as well extract from those inevitable hard and tough things the best of it. And that's the lesson. And I'm someone, as you know, we've talked about this a lot off air. I've grown in my spirituality a lot, and I have certain beliefs now. But most of my life, I was more of an atheist. I actually thought like anything spiritual or religious was total crap, just didn't relate to it at all. And you don't, so I get both sides is my point, even having my different beliefs now. When people would say everything happens for a reason, that's a lot of the times associated with certain religious beliefs. It's kind of quoted in one way or another in almost all religious texts that, you know, things are happening for a reason. Here's the good news. As someone who's been on both sides of this fence, you don't have to be spiritual or religious or any particular spirituality or religion, or you can be an atheist as well, to apply that. anyone can apply this. And here's what I mean. Because if you act like everything happens for a reason, if you act like there is a lesson in everything, well, then you are moving your mindset to extract the best out of it. Now, of course, some people might literally believe that there is a reason that a specific thing happened to them. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not. I have no way of proving that. But even if it wasn't true, why would I not take the hardship and ask myself, okay, well, let's say it did happen for a reason. What reason was this? What could I have learned from this? And I always reference that time. I've talked about it a million times on the show when I got kicked out of school and things are going really bad. I wasn't doing this initially, but as the coming or the months grew and, you know, my mindset changed a lot, I started asking, all right, what was the reason that happened? How could I prevent that in the future? What are the lessons there? And it turns out, Scott, as you know, obviously all too well, there's plenty of lessons there. Okay, wait a second. I can't go reckless with substance abuse. Okay, I can't not talk about my mental health for years. Okay, I can't just allow my anger to build up so much that I'm following every little impulse that it provides me. There were many lessons there. There were many quote unquote reasons that it happened. I had to look for that though. And so that's how I look at this. And then the one small thing I'll add, because what has been happening lately, it's kind of cool. Scott's always so good at coming up with the topics and I love bouncing back and forth with him on almost anything. When it comes to recently, what's been happening is he has this foundational topic and usually something I'm thinking about or experiencing kind of adds on to this. And the thing I was thinking about today was riding the waves of life. And I really meant that in kind of the same way that, or at least it's on the same thought pattern, where it's learning to just accept that the good and the bad comes. It's the different seasons. You know, we get a little upset in winter sometimes. Seasonal affective disorder is a real thing, but we always know that spring and summer's coming. And I think a lot of the times when we're dealing with depression or anxiety or other symptoms of any mental health condition, we find ourselves in that winter, except we don't see that the spring or summer is ever going to come. And this is when the drug overdoses occur. This is when the suicide attempts or completions, unfortunately, occur. It's because we can't see that spring and summer. We need to remember that there are these waves to life and there's lessons to all this stuff. And guess what? You're going to come out with those lessons. The positive will come. It'll come back eventually, just as surely as summer comes every single year. So that's a lot there, but that's kind of how I'm relating to this topic today and what I wanted to add.
For sure. And I think that's a great point to understand is that the spring and summer does come every single year. It happens. It may not always be at the exact same time. Per se, maybe it's a week or two off or something like that, but it always does come. And it's important to remember the same thing with our lives is that those darknesses, those valleys, those difficult times, they are all temporary. But when you're looking at it through the lens of permanent, all of a sudden you lose hope, you lose meaning. And when you lose hope, when you lose meaning and you lose resilience, that's when scary things happen. And that's why we want to make sure that we're able to dig out those positives and those lessons during those difficult times. And to kind of add to that, one of the things that I think is really important is that it's not enough just to recognize there's a lesson there, but we got to be able to take that lesson and really apply it to our lives. Now, you could go through something and say, oh, well, I know what the lesson is here, but then continue to keep doing the same thing. Then what point is that, right? We've got to take that lesson and say, okay, how can I apply this to right now? But also, how can I apply this to my future? Maybe if this situation comes again. Now, I know that we all love to live a type of life where when something bad happens, we don't necessarily think it's going to happen again, but sometimes it does. And at that point, that's when we have that choice. If that difficult time, that dark season happens again, what are we going to do? Are we going to live and take that lesson that we found and apply it to that situation again? Or are we going to go through the same process of, you know, falling into that dark place and getting ourselves trapped before we're able to get out of it? And I think that's a decision that only the person who's going through it can make. But it is really, really important for us to understand that, hey, we've got to take those lessons, we've got to apply it to our lives, and we got to remember it in a way that is going to help us. Because everyone's memory is different. Everyone's kind of triggers for how they can pull that lesson out of their past into their life is different. But if we do that, we find something that works for us, it's going to be a really, really positive thing. So everybody, this was just our intro. This was just the beginning. We're just getting started. We're just rolling. We got a lot of good content for you coming up today. Stay with us. We will be right back after these quick commercial breaks, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Eric Katz here, the owner of Katz Dogs Canine. Are you working from home and need to get your dog out running around for the day? Will you be traveling this summer and looking for a place to board your pup? Is your dog looking a little shaggy and need a haircut or bath? Are you looking forward to walking around and enjoying this beautiful weather, but you can't because your dog's pulling like a freight train? Well, you're in luck. We are a one-stop shop that focuses on daycare, boarding, grooming, and training. We are located at 35 Middle Road, Percocet, PA, on 10 beautiful acres. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at CatsDogsK9 or our website, CatsDogsK9.com. Our phone number is 855-CATS-DOG, 855-528-9364.
What's going on, everyone? This is Scott Prendergast here, a.k.a. Scotty P. And a lot of you know me from the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P and Ev as one of your hosts. But real quick, I want to talk to you about my business. It's called Scotty P Inspiration. And what I am is I'm an inspirational speaker, and I want to help others navigate life through the lens of hope. Now, I do this through speaking engagements, but also one-on-one life coaching. So if you're interested in booking me or doing some of that coaching, let me know. Check me out at www.scottypinspiration.com or check out my Instagram at scottyp_inspo.
If you're a parent who wants to understand the mental health challenges your child faces, then my book, My Perfect Life, How Depression Almost Ended It and How I Found Purpose Through Pain, is for you. Through goofy, relatable stories, you'll see the world from the eyes of someone silently battling depression. Most importantly, you'll learn how we can find hope and purpose through pain. Get your copy of My Perfect Life today. Available on Amazon by searching Lucas Wolf, My Perfect Life. And that's Wolf with an E.
Hey folks, what's going on? It's Evan Transu, aka Ev here. I just wanted to shout out my friends at FDN Thrive. Part of my story with mental health is that I was actually able to get a hold of a lot of my mental and physical health issues by addressing what was going on in my body. So I do mean more of a natural slash functional medicine side. Is this going to be for everyone? Absolutely not. But if you're someone like me who suffered for years and maybe a lot of the conventional things didn't work out, you might want to consider what is going on in your body and see if that is playing any role. So if you want to focus on something more objective, get some lab results and actually have these lab results analyzed by practitioners who are trained in this specific modality, then go to fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button. That's fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button.
And we are back. I feel like I can't bring my normal energy with some of these random songs, but welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P and Ev, where we're talking all things mental health all of the time. By the way, my name is Evan Transu, aka Ev. I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And what's going on, everybody? My name is Scott Prendergast, aka Scotty P, and I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
Okay, today's topic, and just to break this down really quick, part one is always where we discuss the topic of the day, just introduce it really. Part two is where we're going to talk about maybe how we did not always apply the topic of the day so well in our own lives. And then part three, our favorite part, it's the coping strategies, the techniques we've learned. We're not perfect, but we learned a few things and we can help bring you guys back up and really help you figure out ways to maybe approach some of these problems that we're talking about. So today we have kind of two parts of the same whole. And it's this idea of learning to live with lessons, right? Finding the lessons in the bad things that happen. And I'm referring to certain things as like rolling with the waves. It's almost that expectation, and not in a bad way, but an expectation that some unfavorable things will come, similarly to how winter comes. You know, maybe you like winter, but a lot of us would prefer like late spring, early fall, right? We like that kind of middle in between, right before or after summer when it's not too hot, feels perfect, 75, 80 degrees and sunny. That's what's up, right? It's kind of that expectation. I don't mean planning every single day, like, oh my God, the worst things are going to happen, but hey, it's going to happen. Let's not get too ridiculous and too crazy if and when that does happen, because you can't just go off the deep end every time winter occurs, right? It's going to get better. We're going to figure it out. And it's probably a lot better to learn how to deal with winter than it is to just give up on winter completely. So a little different than the live with lessons things, but it's all part of the same thing. So Scott, I mean, this is an interesting one, I guess, to apply directly to our own lives, but I already have a few thoughts going through my head. So where do you want to start with this for part two? Because I'm curious how you might've related this to things that were not so favorable in your life.
For sure. And when I go back and I look at this topic, living for the lessons, and I think about my life, I think about where I am now, I think about where I used to be, And I think one of the main reasons I chose this topic is because this is something that took me a while to do. I think a lot of times when I would go through different stuff, I was always able, very good at being able to say, okay, I know I'll take something good from this situation eventually. And a lot of that had to do with my faith is a really big part of my life, and also just understanding that, hey, look, you know, uncomfortable times make people better. And I always knew that. However, what I had a hard time doing was, as I said in the first part, applying those lessons. I would identify the lessons. I could write it down. I would have it. I could see it and put it on my wall and say, hey, here is the lesson that I know I'm going to get from this. But the disconnect was me trying to take that and apply it to the next time I fell down into that dark period, right? Because over and over again, for a while, I felt like I was just going in these circles. I would go through those winter times, so to speak, those difficult, dark places. I would get out of it. I'd be like, whoa, this is good. And then I would fall back into it again, and I would do the same thing. I would stay in that dark place. I would ruminate on the same things, and I wouldn't be able to get myself out of it as quickly as I would like. Finally, over the years, when I learned that I had to take those lessons that were learned and I had to really apply them in a way that was good and healthy for me, that's when I started to see more of a distance between the dark periods in my life. Now, don't get twisted, no mistakes here. The dark times still come. Those difficult times still come. I don't care who you are. That's always going to happen. But the thing that I've learned now is I'm able to work through them quicker, and I'm able to kind of identify them. I can sense them. I can see them coming from a mile away, and that's when I dig into my tool bag, so to speak, right? I dig into my toolbox, and I pull out those different coping strategies, those different things that I need to do, and oh yeah, those lessons that I've learned. And I take those out, and I really make sure that I start to apply them. And whether that be just me writing it down so I see it every day, whether that be me listening to a certain podcast or a certain song to remind me of those lessons, whatever it is that I need to do to help me to get to the point where I'm in that state of recognition rather than just reactiveness, that's what, you know, I do. And I'm thankful that I'm at that point now to where I can see that stuff. Whereas before it was, oh yeah, I acknowledge it and then just fall back into those places again. And I think for the listener, if you're listening to this, one of the things that's important for you to understand is that I don't mean beating yourself up, because I don't think there's anything good that comes from that. Now, I know that there are people that say being a harsh inner self-critic propels you forward in life. And yes, sometimes it does. But when we're talking about continuing to fall into those dark places, specifically with severe anxiety or depression, getting on yourself and saying, why am I dealing with this again? What's wrong with me? I beat this before. Why is it coming back? When we have that type of mindset, it's extremely detrimental, because it kind of chips away at our hope. It chips away at our resiliency. And it also chips away at what we've already done and accomplished. And I think it's really important for the listener to know, like, hey, when those things do happen, we can't get mad at ourselves, but rather we got to assess the situation and say, okay, I might be here again. I'm going to deal with this. What good can I take from it? What is my strategy that I need to do? Even if it didn't work before, how can I adjust it so it will work this time? And I really want to make sure that the listener knows and understands that, because that is super important to know that, hey, when you do fall down again, you're not beating yourself up first. That's not your first response. Your first response should be, okay, you know what? I see this. Now let me dig into that tool bag to what I have to do. Even if I've done it multiple times, let me do it again.
Yeah, well said, man. I feel like I want to come from this, especially since we have so many adults listening. It's not like a bunch of 15-year-olds, I don't imagine. Coming from this from, all right, what would like it maybe look like for their kids? Since, you know, speaking to youth, you kind of get that understanding. And I think there's kind of two categories. There's the experience and then there's the development. So here's what I mean. On that first part, this is what happens to people, the experience. This happened during COVID, where there are major things that really disrupt society and they happen in life. And one of the best things that I heard throughout COVID, it was a friend's, I don't even think it was their, it wasn't their grandfather. It was like someone that was a neighbor, right? Just an older gentleman. And he had lived as a child through World War II. He got to see these things, right? And now he did say, to be fair, he's like, he thought that COVID was one of the worst things that he ever saw in terms of just how it affected everyone. However, the point is, he was relating this to other times that this has happened. So yes, COVID bad, not fun, terrible time, really messes with many of us psychologically, but I've been here before. I've seen this. I've watched the world come out and back better than it ever has. And we need to be realistic. I'm a realist. I understand that there's a chance that, yes, major things could happen that do not result in the world coming back better than ever before. But I think, especially for myself, and I speak for a lot of fellow young people like you, Scott, everyone else that we talk to, I mean, good Lord, it's so scary because we don't have that experience yet, that first part, to realize, wow, major events do happen that really suck. There's been some that have sucked even way worse. And this is just part of the life cycle. This is just part of the human experience, unfortunately. It's a part of the world that we're in. And typically we do come out on top as a whole, at least. There's going to be many things that happen throughout that time. But as a whole, we typically come out better than ever before. And we learn from those mistakes or problems or whatever it might have been. And so I think one way that people don't really live with the lessons, including myself, are not having the experience yet. We've never had something majorly bad happen to us. We've never been part of a worldwide global event. That can be scary. But then number two, I said development. And this is especially true for the youth side of this. Something that we've mentioned on the show before, we hear it all the times from clinicians that Scott and I speak with, but I love that they bring this up. They talk about how our brains don't develop until about 25 or 26 fully. Now, most people, even people on the street, have heard that. If you're just walking down the street, you talk to someone on the sidewalk, you're like, hey, when is the brain fully or not fully developed till? Most people will actually be able to tell you, oh, probably like 24, 25, they have this general idea. But then if you started asking, okay, well, what parts of the brain don't develop until that time? And what are the implications of that? That's when we start to lose people, right? But they're important implications. They're ones that I actually think should be reflected in the law, but that's a whole separate conversation. One of the parts that doesn't develop to that 25, 26-year-old range is the prefrontal cortex. Now, this is the part of the brain, guys, that is associated with impulse control, long-term planning, executive functioning. There's really important things that are going on there. And so we don't necessarily have the ability, the highest ability that we will have, to think long-term, to realize things get better until about 25. And so if we have a 17, 18-year-old that's going through COVID or whatever, or these, oh my gosh, 12, 13-year-old kids that I see in school, some of them, man, I don't mean to be dark, but they're just so miserable and so sad, and they don't even realize why. Well, of course, they don't have the experience and they don't have the development to actually think like out of this. They think the world's going, it's done. It's game over. This is just, you know, I'm a part of this and I'm just watching it fall. And I guess there's always a possibility of that. I don't think that's true. I think we're going to be just fine, but that's a real experience for these people. So it's pretty hard to live with the lessons when you think that you're just living in a place that is getting worse and worse. So we need to consider that when we're talking to young people. And we also need to give some grace to ourselves. Just because we're over age 25 doesn't automatically mean that we have perfect planning, impulse control, and executive functioning. I think anyone that's honest will tell us, you know, I don't have perfect impulse control. I'm 26. You know, I don't know if my brain hasn't fully developed yet, but I haven't experienced that. So there's those things there. And the way that this applied to my life, I've mentioned these things before. The big ones for me were all around 18 years old. The getting kicked out of school, getting arrested. I genuinely believed, and a lot of this is social conditioning as well, but I genuinely believed, Scott, that because I did not have a high school diploma and because I got kicked out of a school, that there was no way I could ever do anything above completely mediocre in my life. I actually believed that. I just couldn't see that there was other possibilities or other things, or that, you know, 10 years from now, no one's even going to remember this, right? You have time to rebuild that reputation. I didn't see that. And I also didn't see it with the first person I ever loved. You know, when we finally ended things and it was really over, I'm in this mindset thinking, oh my God, how am I ever going to meet someone else? No one else is ever going to love me. Dude, that's so common. I feel like we do that to ourselves. And that's that inability, even as a relatively smart guy, that inability to see long-term, that no, you're going to meet plenty of people, more people than you ever want. And it's actually about figuring out who is best for you. It's not that you're never going to meet someone. You are. We all are. It's actually figuring out who's best with us and resonates with us. So experience, developmental, two different things. And that's how it kind of affected me. That's the obvious ones, at least.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's great that you brought that up and talked about the experience and the developmental piece. And we talk about that a lot on the show, and it can't be understated. It really is an important aspect. I mean, we're talking the brain. When it's not fully developed, I mean, it's tough to expect certain things, and we have to understand that. Now, we're not also saying this. This is not an excuse for teenagers to just act a fool and do whatever they want and say, oh, well, their brain's not developed. That's not what we're saying. However, by it not being developed, it gives us some understanding. It can give us a little bit more empathy and understanding for why they're acting the way that they are, and that'll open up space for a conversation. And that's what's important, okay? So if you have maybe a 16, 17-year-old, or maybe you are, and you're just like, man, I don't even know why I do the things I do, or I don't know why my son or daughter does the things that they do, just remember that. It's not fully developed. And then allow that to be kind of a catalyst for you to have a conversation, to talk about some of the things going on. I think that is super important.
I obviously, we never cut each other off here, and I just went on a huge thing. I got to add, though, because you know I love this saying, explanation is not justification. Right?
Absolutely.
That's the difference that the parents need to understand. You just explained something. You did not justify bad behavior. If your kid's doing drugs recklessly and they haven't been caught before, okay, there might be an explanation here, right? Maybe they weren't thinking. Now, if you told them that's wrong and they're still doing it 2 years later, that's not justification, right?
Right.
You already had the explaining. So I think what you just said is perfect. I'm sorry, I had to add that in because I think when we say the explanation's not justification, it rhymes. It always imprints it in people's memories really well.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up. And that's important for parents to understand, or guardians, whoever it might be. It's super, super important. And one of the things that I really want to touch on that Evan kind of brought up previously here was talking about relying on your past experiences. When he talked about the gentleman who lived through World War II and saying, you know, I haven't seen anything as bad since then, but also saying, hey, I've been here before, I know we'll get through it. And sometimes as younger people, we don't always have those, that repertoire of those experiences that we've been through to really rely on and say, hey, I can recall a time where I was at this low point, and oh yeah, that's right, I got through it too. But I think what's important for everybody to understand, regardless of how old you are, right now, in the position that we've been in the past 2+ years at this point, this is prime content for everybody to take. And the next time you're struggling, say, hey, I have been here before and I have gotten through this. Whether you're a 7-year-old kid or 75, now, if you've lived on this earth the past 2 years, you have a prime thing for you to be able to recall and take from and say, ah, you know what? Maybe COVID was 7 years ago and I'm struggling now with something else, but I've been here before because I remember how it felt when I was in that dark place in 2020, 21, 2022. So this is a prime example of that, that I think people need to remember. A lot of times people have this tendency to compare, I guess, life experiences and hardships to other people. I can't tell you how many times I see that with different people I talk about, saying, oh, my experience isn't valid, my pain's not valid, you know, this person had this happen, this person had that happen. And I understand that, but it's unproductive. And nothing good is going to come from that whatsoever in any way by saying, well, I can't feel sad because that person has it worse, so I gotta now, you know, push that sadness aside. I'm not allowed to feel. Because when we restrict our feelings, when we cover up those feelings, they're gonna come back around, and they usually come back around with a little bit more added to it and a little something else, which makes it more of a difficult problem, right? So everybody whoever is listening to the show, the past 2 years, that is now give you something to put in your toolbox. So the next time you're struggling, say, hey, you know what? Yes, I've been here before. I got through it before. I will get through this again, just like I did then. And I really think it's great for a lot of young people to have this experience, as weird as that sounds, because now as they go throughout their life and they get older, they know that they've done it before and they have something to fall back on and recall an experience in which they did it.
Well, I don't think it actually... I mean, I understand how it could sound weird to someone, but I think you made a great point, because you know this, before I got into even my health stuff, which I love, I got into personal development. I started studying successful people. And I don't just mean financially, guys, although that's an aspect. It's healthy relationships, happiness. That's what success is to me. And I started studying these people and I found 90%+ of the time, I mean, it's overwhelming. It's almost exclusive, but it's not exclusive. There's still a 1 or 2% that it doesn't apply to. 90%+ have been through not only hardships, but some of the craziest stuff you've ever heard. And you're like, you went through what? And so I think, although I wouldn't wish that upon someone per se, it does build this resilience and this ability to understand intuitively that life does have these waves. Oh, wow, I had some, like myself, right? It's just obvious. I had some bad stuff happening to me when I was young. It got really good. There was a little dip for a little bit, and now it's the best it's ever been in a sense. Okay, so I know inevitably, even if I'm generally trending up, there's probably going to be another little low, and that's okay. I'm not going to wait for that or expect it, but I'm not going to be surprised either when it comes. I'm going to make the best out of it and utilize it. And then that next high, that next, what do you call that? The peak is going to be there again. So I think, yeah, although we wouldn't wish it on someone, I think when this does happen young, if we make it through to the other side, I do think it's one of the best things that can happen to someone, because it creates a very genuine resilience for the rest of life.
I couldn't agree more. And this goes back to so many different quotes that I could think of and so many different, you know, me being a Christian, Bible verses that I know, and just so many different things in general where it talks about how difficult times build good people. I mean, you type that in, you'll see a million different things from all different genres about people talking about this stuff. Here's the thing. It is so true. I think it's the most true thing in the world, but it's not fun. And we live in a society where everybody wants things to be comfortable. Everybody wants things to be fun. Everybody wants things to be in their favor all the time, 24/7, 365, no matter what. When you have that expectation in life, you're going to undoubtedly be let down, because life doesn't work that way. Life doesn't revolve around you. Life doesn't care about what you want all the time and making sure everything goes exactly according to your plan. Life doesn't care. And I think one of the problems that we see a lot with just humans in general is, especially in today's society, we have this notion, as I said, that everything should go exactly according to plan. And that just leads to this constant feeling of failure amongst people, because they're like, oh, well, I should have been here. I should have did this. This was supposed to happen and it didn't. So that's seven things in a row that didn't go the way I wanted. And now I guess my whole life is just a wash and I'm completely worthless. This is the mindset that we see. This is why we see people that are falling into very difficult places because of that. And what we really need to understand instead is kind of, and I said this before a while ago, but I'll say it again, expand our expectations of life to include what it is that we don't plan for. And I'll say that again, expand your expectation to include what you didn't plan for. And what I mean by that is that we got to leave a little space in our life every single time we get an expectation for that stuff that we didn't plan for, whether it's an illness, whether it's losing somebody, whether it's an unexpected job loss, whatever it is, you fill that in with whatever you want, listener, okay? But we've got to understand that these things will happen. And when they do, that's when that resiliency really kicks in. And where I want to bring this back to what Evan was saying, having gone through these difficult things for young people with the COVID and the shutdowns and the social injustice and all the different stuff that's happened, that has really made that resiliency, it's either completely crushed it, but for a lot of people, I think it's made it pretty strong. And now that it's stronger, I think people have a better ability to rely on it and turn to it and say, hey, you know what? I could step out onto this resiliency here now, because I have now struggled before, and now my resiliency can hold me up when I'm going from situation to situation, is kind of the way that I think of it. But it all really starts with that mindset of learning to understand, hey, life won't be exactly what you want all the time. That's okay. That's part of living. You're not missing out on anything. Despite what person's Instagram says, they're not having great all the time. No, this is just the way that it is in this life. But, good times will come again. And that's when we really just got to remind ourselves of that when we fall into those places.
Scott, since I'm on the computer, I fully admit I don't know what our time is for the commercial. So what am I working with here?
Yeah, you got a few minutes, just because actually it's funny. Our timer is a little, it was started a little slow. So we've got about like 3 minutes left before we go to commercial.
Whoa, a full three. I'm sure I can figure out something to say for that. But in terms of, you know, obviously part two typically is where we're associating the times that this didn't work out so great, right? I'm just thinking about the kids now and kind of what's going through their heads, because it's this bittersweet thing. We talked about how there can be a huge benefit to going through adversity when we're young, but there's also a huge risk, because there's many people that I know that did not make it to the other side for various reasons. The pressure put on them was too much, or the coping mechanisms never came. They never had good fortune in terms of getting the help that they needed at the proper time for this. And it leads to sometimes suicides. It leads to drug overdoses sometimes. So I think it's mixing this perfect amount. We got to have an allowance and a tolerance for some pain in our life. But I think really what it comes down to is parenting, teachers, anyone in that mentorship position for youth, because that's obviously a group I'm super passionate about, making sure that they truly understand the seasons of life and kind of relating that winter and summer thing for them, right? Because they're going to be able to understand that super easily. Like, hey, like there's seasons every single year. You know, sometimes some winters are way worse. It has way more snow. You get a lot of school days off. Now, they might think that's a good thing, right? But you're going to get more trouble there. Sometimes the summer's super hot. Other times it was just really nice the whole time. But there was, I don't know about you, Scott, over there, there was crazy thunderstorms here today. I don't know if we were going to lose power. And I'm glad that we didn't, so for the show. But I think really just making sure that they understand that. If they get that there's another side to this, I do believe that's how we'd start preventing Suicide attempts. I believe that's how we'd start preventing drug overdoses. I believe that's how we'd start encouraging kids to feel inspired again and feel good again. It's letting them know that there is another side to this. Human beings can handle an insane amount of pain, man. An insane beating. There's some crazy stories about what people in war have done, or that book where the guy was stuck in the rock with his arm for like 100, I forget what the book's called, 120 or 160 hours or something like that. How do people do that? Are they just tougher than you or I? Maybe, but I don't believe it's that much more tough. I think they had hope. And so when we realize that there's seasons, that's where we get the hope, where we realize that it's actually can be okay if we take lessons from this. That's where the hope comes. And when we have hope, man, we can make it through just about anything. So with that said, I feel like I'm probably pretty secure on the time. We will be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Find Yourself Boxes was created to foster the connection between a person and those in life who may be working through mental health challenges by providing curated and customizable boxes filled with research-backed wellness products that promote healing. Coupling personal experience with professional mental health guidance, Find Yourself Boxes meets people where they are on their journey. Wellness doesn't look the same for every person, and these products are packaged together to touch various aspects of our wellness spectrum. Find your healing with Find Yourself Boxes at findyourselfboxes.com, and you can get 20% off your first purchase. Does the pandemic have your hair looking a little funky? Are people stopping and staring and glancing at you as you walk down the street? Folks, come on now. Hair salons, they've been open for a while. It's time to get your hair cut. You've definitely been procrastinating. I know my producer has. And when you do it, you should head to Hair and Visions in Ottsville, PA. Hair and Visions is open Tuesday through Saturday. They specialize in coloring and also offer keratin treatments that give your hair a smooth finish. Hair and Visions offers haircuts for all ages, so you can bring the whole family. Schedule your appointment today by calling 610-847-8894. Again, that is 610-847-8894. And tell them that Scotty P and Health Coach Ev sent you.
If you're looking to get more TMS, ketamine, and Spravato patients, then 7 Figure Psych is for you. Beyond Marketing's flagship 7 Figure Psych business development and marketing system helps mental health professionals to attract, schedule, and convert new patients into care. Join a community of like-minded business professionals and automate your entire online presence. Visit these guys at 7figurepsych.com. That's the number 7figurepsych.com. Guys, cancer is a word that most of us know all too well. And as is the case for so many other conditions, Western medicine is a miraculous yet incomplete form of treatment for those who are suffering. But what if there was a place in our community that helped meet the many other needs for cancer patients? Well, that's exactly what my aunt, Corinne Sikora, envisioned. And now you can help make that vision come to life. The Corinne Sikora Wellness and Support Center is designed to be a comforting space for all cancer patients across Bucks County. This center will help these individuals meet their emotional, social, physical, and lifestyle needs that are essential pieces of one's healing journey. Because of people like you, this center will be able to offer a multitude of completely free services to local patients and their families. A large vision like this needs all the support it can get, and you can help today. Go to CorinneSikoraCenter.org and click the donate button. That is CorinneSikoraCenter.org. S-I-K-O-R-A, Corinne Sikora, center.org, and click the donate button.
And we are back. Welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P and Ev, where we're talking all things mental health all of the time. By the way, my name is Evan Transu, aka Ev, and I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And what's going on, everybody? My name is Scott Prendergast, aka Scotty P, and I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
All right, Scott, time for part three, our favorite part, where we kind of share positive things that we've learned given the topic of the day, coping strategies. We're not perfect by any means, but we're guys that have gone through some stuff and we study a lot and we've figured out some things that might work for other people. We also have the distinct pleasure of like actually being able to talk to a lot of people, right? So I learn things from them all the time. I'm like, oh, I never thought about it that way or this way. And today's topic was kind of, there's a few different things at this point, but really focusing on the lessons that life can give us in these hardships, or learning to ride the waves of life, looking at life as the seasons, right? Sometimes it's winter, sometimes it's summer. Most of us would prefer that summer, you know, but the truth is summer's always going to come. every single year, especially where we live, if you're listening locally, that's as sure as the sun's going to come up tomorrow. It happens every year. It's like miserable for like 8 months, cold and stuff. And then the months that we're in right now, yeah, there's some thunderstorms today, but let's be honest, the rest of the time is absolutely amazing. So I'll start this one off. I think I threw it to you both times, so I apologize. I'll actually start here with some coping mechanisms that I learned or ways that I see that are helpful for this. And I already had kind of talked about this in part one, but I'm going to go back here because this is probably one of the biggest things I ever learned with this. And it's acting as if everything happens for a reason, even if you don't believe that that's the case. You don't have to believe it. It's probably pretty powerful if you do, but you don't have to. If we start approaching the things that happen to us in life as if it did happen for a reason, no matter what, no matter how bad it was, there is always something that we can extract there, a lesson that can be learned, and something that we can use in the future to either make the next time we get a hit like that better, or maybe prevent that hit from happening at all. You know, sometimes it's a breakup. And I think for myself, I had like two major relationships in my life before this one. And I think the things that I learned in those, because I take that mindset of looking back and saying, all right, well, what can I learn here? What can I learn here? That's why I'm lucky enough that this one, I mean, we both feel with everything in our body that this is the one that's going to be for the rest of our lives, right? We don't fight. We don't argue. I mean, we have disagreements, but that's not the same as yelling and being terrible to each other. And you can get through almost anything if you're willing to just communicate and be a good person with the other individual. And I don't know that I could have gotten there without these other experiences. But yet there are plenty of people that will go through 10, 15, 20 relationships and the same thing happens every time. And I think, Scott, that goes back to your first point that you made in the show, which was really like, hey, there's one thing to acknowledge a lesson. There's another thing to apply what that lesson actually means. You could be told, oh, well, you know what? Maybe this was the lesson. I need to be a little less confrontational in my relationships. I shouldn't allow my anger to get the best of me. That's great. And then the minute something becomes emotionally heated in the next one, you're getting angry as heck and allowing that to go right out the door. That's not very helpful. It's one thing to acknowledge it. It's another thing to apply it. And again, even though I said it in the beginning in a different way, the biggest thing that I could say for this is acting as if every bad thing that happens to you happened for a reason. There is always something to be learned that way. There is nothing bad that can come from viewing things in that perspective. This is not to deny that the situation might just suck. It seems unfair, but it can either suck and be unfair and you don't learn anything, or it can suck and be unfair and there might be even some minuscule 1-2% benefit that you get. And usually it's a lot more than that. So that's my first thing, is just act like everything happens for a reason, even if you do not believe that at all.
Yeah. And it's so true. Like when we are looking at life through the lens that everything does happen for a reason, it's almost like we can look at it like it's a puzzle. And we start taking little pieces and we start to see that something else is being made here. Something great is being made here. And I think that's a wonderful way to look at life. And it really helps people through some of those most difficult times to know that when you go through something that cuts deep, that something beautiful will come from it. Just like when a caterpillar goes into its cocoon, it is struggling, it's dark, I imagine it's extremely uncomfortable, but yet it's because it goes into that cocoon that it's able to turn into a beautiful butterfly. If it doesn't go into that cocoon, it stays crawling on the ground forever. But because it goes into that, it turns into this creature that can fly and soar above all types of different things. And I think that's a wonderful way to look at life, really. One of the things that I want to talk about here with a strategy is kind of just a way to flip the script, so to speak, of your mind's thinking real quick. Here's the thing. A lot of times when we see people get into that really low place when they're maybe even attempting or having suicide ideations, a lot of times those people will tell you that their pain exceeds their hope. That the pain that they currently feel in their life exceeds any hope that they have, right? And what I want to work on with the listener today is learning to flip that to where your hope exceeds any pain that you might have. That your hope is so strong, so resilient, so rock solid, that even when the hardest, most difficult pain comes into your life, your hope still exceeds that. And I think when we get to that point, it doesn't matter what happens to us, but we'll be able to move through it. Now, it takes time to get here. This isn't something that somebody's born one day and says, my hope always exceeds my pain. This is called living life and going through experiences and taking good and bad and finding a way to kind of mesh it together to get to yourself to that point. But one of the things that I will say is, as a listener, I want you to think of this. And I've said this before, I'm not sure on the show or not, but human beings, everything we've gone through, there's so many different layers to us. There's a layer of good, layer of bad, layer of young, layer of old, layer of this relationship, of that relationship, of this job, of that pain, yada, yada, yada. there's so many layers. So look at your life like there's just 70, 80 different layers, right? And what I want you to do is I want you to look at those layers. I want you to analyze those layers. I want you to look back at those different layers that you've had and see, wow, you know, look what happened here. Or, wow, I was able to learn that from here. And when we go back and really kind of start to just recall some of these layers, it all of a sudden makes us more grateful for where we're at right now. But it also makes us realize that, man, there is absolutely nothing that can stop me, that I can get through this. And that really helps you, to bring you back to my point that I was saying here, to get your hope to exceed any pain that you might feel. And I don't expect everybody to be able to do this right away. But I think that if you can go back, make some type of documentation, whatever works for you, whether it's on your phone or writing it down, of the different layers of your life, and really be able to see that those layers have really not only created a thick skin, but have also created a person who has extreme resiliency and who can get through any of the challenges that are thrown their way. And really just put that in your head. Because as me and Evan talk about on the show a lot, what you think to yourself matters. What you say to yourself matters. And when you look at those layers and realize all the lessons that have been gained from them, and you put that in your head and you ruminate on that and you focus on that, that, my friends, is how we get some of that hope to exceed our pain in our lives.
Mm-hmm. It's like you said, when you like look back, it kind of, Steve Jobs said, when you connect the dots, like looking back, then it all makes sense, right? When you try to connect and look forward, it won't make any sense at all. And I think that's really important, man. You know, the other thing is too, I would suggest that people to kind of apply this mindset is talk to more older people, right? Yeah. Whether it's a grandparent or someone that you just know, and talk to them about their life experiences. Ask them, you know, respectfully, what maybe some of the toughest things that they ever had to overcome were. And you're never, ever, ever going to find someone that is over the age of 60, 70, probably not even over the age of 20, but over the age of 60, 70, that hasn't dealt with loss or hardship or whatever in their life. It is universal. And yet they're still here to tell the story. And a lot of them, you know, got a smile on their face and they're happy to tell the story because of what they've learned. And I think when we get to hear that and see that, this is something that I picked up in a lot of the books that I had read in the space of personal development. I was realizing that this is just part of life. You know, I'm not unique in that sense. I'm unique in my own experiences, but I'm not unique conceptually in that human beings do go through some tough stuff. We got to take the lessons from that and kind of move on. And I think knowing that other people have gone through their own versions of this stuff, it kind of helps. I just heard this the other day, but, and I don't want to ruin the quote, it might've been from you, I'm not sure, but it was basically this idea that if we threw all of our problems in one pile, I guarantee that you would take yours right back, you know, because you could see that. Was that you that said that to me? Or was that someone else?
I don't think it was me, but I like that.
Okay. Oh wait, yeah. You know, and it's not that I always want to walk that line carefully because this isn't a comparison thing, right? You don't get happiness by comparing yourself to someone who has it way worse. That might be a great way to force gratitude, but I don't know if we should derive our happiness from that, because that implies that if we're like in the bottom 10%, we shouldn't have any happiness. And right, we all know that doesn't necessarily have to be true. Similarly, that, oh, we always have to be striving for more and more to be happier. And that's not necessarily true either. We gotta look at that. We gotta look at the older people, talk to them, see what they've been through and the things that they've experienced. And then kind of an all one lump here. I feel like I just listed off like three things, but it's an acceptance too. And this is something, man, as a recovering control freak, I always call it myself. This is probably one of the hardest things for me to actually truly accept. So this is almost I don't want to be hypocritical. It's almost a do as I say, not as I do, but I'm getting better and better at actually doing it. It's accepting that we don't have a lot of control here. And this doesn't even matter if you're an atheist, a faith-based person. You know, at the end of the day, you either believe that we're subject to the things that nature does or we're subject to the things that a higher power does. So you're basically admitting that there is no control. And so I think for some people, for me, it's not like a major thing, but it does help just accepting or trying to accept that this is just part of life. It's my own expectations about the way things should go that are leading to my suffering. Like, who said this was going to be perfect? Who said this was going to be great? Who said that COVID wasn't going to happen? No one promised that. You know, and if you look back 1,000 years, we're actually at the best place we've ever been globally. Got plenty of things to work on, but we're still at the best place we've ever been. So it's being thankful for that, accepting that, yeah, there's some crap that comes with it, and then learning what we can from that and kind of moving on. So acceptance would be kind of the last thing I'd list off, I think. And that's going to be a lifelong journey for me, but maybe certain people can do that a little easier if they even think to try to do it.
Yeah, I love what you brought up there about acceptance. And I think when we're able to reach a point of acceptance, it doesn't make all of our problems go away. It doesn't instantly make everything great, but it takes the pressure off. And it takes some of that feeling of I have to control everything away. And that's a really powerful thing. And now we don't want people to get it confused. When it comes to acceptance, that doesn't mean you stop trying. That doesn't mean that you give up. That doesn't mean that you just let, you know, everything kind of run over you and you don't care. No, acceptance means you accept the things that you cannot change and you put your time and effort and energy into the things that you do have power to change, whether that be, you know, your attitude or being the people that you're around, things like that, because that's stuff that is up to us. And so understanding the fine line between acceptance and change and what you can and can't control, super, super important. So I'm glad that you brought that up, Ev. One of the strategies that I love is I love giving people things in three. Because so many researchers have found that when you give people little three, kind of boom, 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 they really kind of connects with them a little bit more, because three is just that magic number, right, so to speak. It's that number where we remember a lot of things well in threes. Speaking of threes, I got something for you. These will be three questions that I want you to ask yourself that really help to just give you some perspective, give you some resiliency, and give you a little gratitude too. Here are the three questions as a listener I want you to ask yourself. Number one, where have I been in my life? And when I say, where have I been, I want you to think about all the different layers, as I talked about before, that you've had. All the struggles, all the good times, just all of the experiences you've had in your life. I want you to ask yourself, where have I been? And I want you to think about all those different things and really take a minute to think about that, okay? That's question one I want you to ask yourself, where have I been? Question two, where am I at now? Self-explanatory, I want you to ask yourself, where am I at in my life now, so to speak? And you could take this however you want. It could be from an educational standpoint. It could be from a relationship standpoint. It could be from a happiness standpoint, whatever it is. But monitor and see really where you're at right now in your life. So that's question two, where am I at now? Question three, where am I going? Where is it that I'm going in life? And how is it that what I'm doing right now and what I've done in my past going to shift and change where I'm going in my life? That's how we bring it all together. So we ask ourselves, where have I been? We get those examples. We think about that. We ask ourselves, where am I at now? We think about where we're at now. And then we ask ourselves, where am I going? And in between each one of those questions, there are little connectors. Where we have been impacts where we're at now. Where we're at now impacts where we're going. But here's the fun thing about it, my audience. Just because we've been somewhere and we're at somewhere now, that doesn't mean that's exactly where we're going. And that can be a good thing, or it could be a bad thing, depending upon how you choose to view it. Because if we've been in a really bad spot, the beauty about it is that doesn't mean we have to continue to go there. We can make changes that'll alter that. And also, if we've been in a good spot, that also means we got to keep it up so that we can continue to see ourselves going to that good spot. So when we ask ourselves these three simple questions, all you're doing is I am asking you to really think about your life. Think about the good things, think about the bad things, and think about what it is that you want to change. And when you ask yourself those questions, that's going to help you to start that process, which is extremely important to finding out more of that introspective side of yourself.
I got a little time here, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, you've got you got about a minute.
All right, cool. Well, then I think that's perfect, because what I want to finish up on is, Scott and I were talking off air, just had a situation recently. Thankfully, it was not someone that I was too close with, but it's someone that, you know, a lot of my friends were very close with. They died by suicide on Monday. And the last thing I want to do is speak ignorantly, because I don't know the situation. I don't know what was going on. There's a million reasons that that could lead someone to doing that. But I can't help but think the topic today has so much to do with that situation and probably all suicides out there. It's not a lack of resilience. It's not a lack of toughness. It's momentary or long-term inability to see that it's a season, to see that there's a good on the other side, to see that this will get better, and that there is nothing so bad that could be happening that you should be doing something like that if there's even a shred of hope. And there usually is if we look around. So I hope that person, you know, rests in peace to the best of their ability. I pray for good fortune on their family and just recovery for their family, because I know that this is going to be a pretty serious thing. But hopefully these topics today, I don't want to end on a serious note, but I do hope seriously that these topics today are useful to someone out there maybe dealing with a family member or friend with suicidal ideations, or perhaps dealing with them themselves. I know it's tough. I get it. I'm not speaking from a place of someone who's never dealt with that. I have. Scott has too. It does get better. We got to put in some effort for that, but it really does get better. And we got to not act on those momentary impulses to do something like that when things get really bad. So the good news is Scott always finishes up a show for us, and he always brings you up with something positive before we head out. So Scotty P, what do you got for him, man?
Awesome, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to us today. I really hope that you were able to take some valuable lessons from this show and just apply it to your life so that you could start seeing some of those positive changes that we talk about, that we've lived, that we've experienced. We talked about today living for the lesson. And really, when it comes down to it, life is all about lessons and what we choose to take from those lessons and what we choose to omit from those lessons. Today, you've learned so many lessons. You might not recognize it, you may not know it, but you have. And your life has been a accumulation about the decision that you've made and whether you've decided to take something good or bad from that lesson. Today, I want you to think about this. I want you to go through the next week of your life, and I want you to constantly remind yourself, I am living for the lesson. This content that I'm gathering today, this life that I'm living, the experiences that I've had, this is all content. I'm gathering it, I'm viewing it, and then I'm going to look through this content to pick out those little special golden lessons that are lying within. And you, when you take those golden lessons and really start to harp on them and remind yourself of them, all of a sudden life turns around from being something that could be really dark and that pain seems endless to something that is filled with hope and something that is really light and something that helps you to realize, wow, that there is so much going on here that I have to be grateful for. So if we could start by living for the lessons in our lives, understanding that, yes, difficult times will come, but as Evan was talking about, we will get to the spring. We will get through the winter, get to the summer. It will come. We just got to find within those times those things to hold on to, those reminders, those, as we've been saying, lessons to really hold on to and help us during those times. So I want to thank you all so much for being here today. Thank you for listening to us. If you are curious about finding more about us, we'll talk about that real quick here, but you can check me out on www.scottypinspiration.com or check me out on Instagram at scottyp_inspo. So Ev, where can everyone find you?
And I am at Evan_Transu on Instagram and evantransu.com for the website.
Awesome, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us today. And you can, of course, go on wwdb.com to check out our past episodes. You can check us out on Spotify and other major recording platforms. Check out the different things we've done, the guests that we've had, and more information about us. If that's all, everybody, have a fantastic weekend. I appreciate it. Thank you all for joining for us for another Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P and Ev. See y'all later. Have a good one.
Recording stopped.